I want to say welcome to you all. Welcome to this next series that we're kicking off in term two. It's called The Five Paths. And what it is, it's actually a part of a worldwide movement of Baptist churches all through this time between Easter and Pentecost. There's going to be thousands of Baptist churches participating in this preaching series and also a number of things that are a part of it that extend into the life of our church community. It's centered in many ways around the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells the story of the early church. In fact, I would say it's one of my favorite books in all of God's Word. It tells a story both which has filled with excitement, but it's also filled with incredible challenges and the way in which God moves. It tells a story about how the church moved from when it begins kind of post the life of Jesus and his ascension into heaven to the way the church grows in Jerusalem and then in Samaria, which is kind of like a neighbor, and then to the ends of the earth. And it's a fascinating story. If you ever have the chance, it's a wonderful book to read in some of your own time and maybe in your devotional life. But in Acts chapter 2, there's a description of the church of that era. And it's a very important description. And it tells a little bit about what the model of the early church was about. Now, I want you to know that the church in AD, say, 33, looked very different than the church of 2026. They didn't meet in buildings. They didn't have cameras recording for people online and things. That didn't have sound systems to amplify voices. It looked very different on the surface. But at its heart, the church is fundamentally the same. So we're going to look at what a model of the church looks like and what it means to be a part of the church. It's a model which is not about what a building looks like. It's not a model about what a program runs like, or what music to sing. It's a model about what is at the heart of who we are and what we do. God's people coming together. God's people living out his calling on our lives. Our calling on our lives to love God with all our heart, to love our neighbor, to love each other, to live as God's people. And so today we're going to hear a talk which came from the guy who's the leader of the Baptist World Alliance and the leader of this movement. I think it's a talk which is very impacting. And that's going to be from Acts chapter 2. So I want to read that passage to you before we kick it off on the screen. So if you have a Bible with you, it'd be great if you open it up to Acts chapter 2 and you can read along with me. And I think actually it's from verse 41. I think I've got the wrong little printout on my head. So it tells a story about how Peter had been preaching to crowds in Jerusalem. And it says that at that day, numbers of people were baptized and added to the church, several thousand people. And then it goes on to say in verse 42 that all of the people who were believing, all the people who were following Jesus, what did it say? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to their community, to how they engaged together, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, to prayer. It tells how a deep sense of awe came over them all. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. The believers met together in one place. They shared everything that they had, sold their property, possessions, shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity. All the while, what were they doing all the while? They were praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, it tells us, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved, those who were coming to know Jesus. So I trust that you will open your hearts as you listen to Elijah this morning.
BWA, we are a movement of churches in 138 countries. A movement that began almost 2,000 years ago in a room so much smaller than this one. In that humble room, the Holy Spirit poured forth on men and women in a revival that continues to reverberate today. The first church, a house church, met in Jerusalem. They patterned their worship around gathering in homes as a new family, pursuing discipleship around a shared meal, praying, praising, providing for one another, and living as a missionary witness in their community. As we see a world filled with wars and persecution, poverty and hunger, displacement, depression, separation and isolation, we want to live like that first church in the world, the church in Acts 2. We believe that our mundane can become God's miraculous. Our simple can become God's supernatural. Our ordinary can be God's extraordinary in God's kingdom. A church without borders or boundaries that does not give into the Babylons of this world, but who believe the word of God is powerful and alive and calls us to live as an incarnational community, disruptible disciples, freedom pursuers, anointed proclaimers, Holy Spirit disciples who are living the good news as we embody the presence of Jesus with missionary love. An Acts 2 church in action. In every neighborhood, in every language, every nation, for every person, as we look to the greatest anniversary in the history of the world. You know, anniversaries are great opportunities. I was in India for the 125th anniversary of the arrival of the gospel in that area. When the first missionary arrived, they were told they could only serve up in the hills. What they were not told was that the people up in the hills were headhunters. Well, William Pettigrew set off and was immediately captured. He was about to be killed when the chief heard the news and ran down to them and he said, "My great-grandfather had a vision that someone from the outside would bring us freedom and truth. And he passed that vision to my grandfather, who passed it to my father, who passed it to me. And for four generations, we've been waiting." Today, that broader area of India supports 3,000 missionaries across India and 300 missionaries from India to other countries. It's incredible. But how many places around the world have waited generation after generation for someone to share out of the freedom they have, the hope they have found in Jesus Christ? BWA Baptist, we are on the eve of the greatest anniversary in the history of the world. 2033 will be the 2000th anniversary of the death and resurrection of Jesus, the 2000th anniversary of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, the 2000th anniversary of the birth of the church, the 2000th anniversary of the Great Commission, the 2000th anniversary of the first Christian martyr. 2,000 years ago, disciples gathered in an upper room, and for the first time, the Holy Spirit permanently filled men and women, and as a church in action, they changed the world. What if the Lord did it again? What if, for the glory of Jesus, we prayed, "Lord, what you did 2,000 years ago, would you do it again?" Amen. A global revival in every language, in every neighborhood, in every nation. "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. And in our time, make them known." Now, this cannot just be pastors and preachers and missionaries. Such a global revival will need every believer. It'll need you. In light of 2033, as the greatest anniversary in the history of the world, for the first time in BWA history, we are calling every Baptist convention and union, every Baptist mission agency, humanitarian initiative, university and seminary, every church every brother and sister to pursue an unprecedented, Holy Spirit-filled, collaborative global mission. We've never done this before, but the saving good news of Jesus is absent among too many neighborhoods for us to prioritize monocentric mission. The wounds of this world are too deep and the people are too weary for us to do anything less than to work together in shared presence. Let the old structures of power and separation give way to missional collaboration. Lord, we are desperate for a new Pentecost. Would you join us in an Acts 2 movement and adopt and adapt the five pathways used in the first church in Acts chapter 2? The church at her birth was the church at her best. And five pathways are outlined. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. In these last days, God is pouring out his Spirit on all people, sons and daughters will prophesy. The young and the old will see visions and dream dreams, and men and women will be filled with the Spirit. These first believers went into the neighborhood and they shared their testimony, and 3,000 were added to their number that day. It begins with the Holy Spirit. Our church, our adaptive strategies, our personal renewal, it begins in Holy Spirit prayer. We are to lay our lives, our families, our ministries before the altar of the Almighty God in desperate prayer that our ordinary can become God's extraordinary. But we have to lay ourselves down. It's not our cleverness, but God's grace given to those who place their lives into the hands of God and trust of the Holy Spirit. As they prayed, they gave their life and trust to the Holy Spirit, and God helped their simple become the supernatural. Now, in Acts chapter 2, five paths call us to an unprecedented collaborative global mission. Each path has a Holy Spirit collaboration goal, a goal that's only going to be possible if the Holy Spirit flows through us and only if we will collaborate together around the world in an unprecedented way. The first path is the witness path. By 2033, could we share 450 million testimonies around the world? In the last 10 years, the BWA family has grown 32%. Amen? But there are differences. In the last 10 years, the Baptist family in Europe and North America has declined 7%. And in North America, declined 3%. In the last 10 years, the Baptist family in Latin America has grown 11%. In the Caribbean, 20%. In Asia Pacific, 27%. And in the last 10 years, the Baptist family in Africa has grown 119%. Global revival with a call to share 500 million personal testimonies about Jesus. Now, some of you are thinking, how's that possible? Now listen, if all 53 million Baptists will just share their testimony once a year, for the next 9 years, that's 450 million times. So here's your commitment. Will you share your personal testimony once a year? For demographers say that there are 3 billion people who are unreached with the good news of Jesus. On this day and on every day, 123,000 people are born without any access to the gospel witness. And in the next 30 years, 2 billion more people will be added to the world. So by 2033, could we pray that every person will have a chance to hear a personal testimony about Jesus? I was in India, and I met a pastor of the church. He pastored the church that was started by William Carey. You know, they still use the same pulpit used by William Carey. I know you think your church has some legacy. It's awesome. But the pastor shared how he had become burned out. And without knowing what to do, he resigned from the church and he moved across that city. That first Sunday, his wife and his daughter came to him and they said, "Daddy, could we sleep in on Sunday? We've never been able to sleep on a Sunday. We just one Sunday." And so he said, "All right, on that one Sunday." He said, "But I got up, I was walking around, I didn't know what to do. I was so nervous. I'd always been to church when there was a knock on my door. And I opened the door and there was an older woman there and she said, 'Pastor, would you pray for me?'" He said, "Well, I'm not currently a pastor." And she said, "There is no other church. So as long as you're here, you'll be my pastor." So he invited her in and he prayed for her and they began a church in his living room. Today, that church averages over 2,500 people and they're supporting 22 missionaries across India. Here's how they did it. As the church grew, they would hire a staff member for the church, and then they would hire a missionary to send. A staff member for the church, and then they'd send a missionary. What if your church did that? I was in Moldova, the poorest country in the European Union, and they're supporting 20 missionaries from Moldova. If God can do that in Moldova, God can do that with you. In Venezuela, in the midst of economic collapse, they are supporting 100 missionaries. If God can do that in Venezuela, God can do that with you. In Liberia, they're working to plant 150 churches in the next 3 years. If God can do that in Liberia, God can do that with you. In the Baptist Union of Victoria, here in Australia, they're working to double the number of their churches. Baptists from Brazil are sending 3,000 missionaries. Argentina is sending 80 missionaries. Jamaica is sending 3. Australia, 25. Denmark, 2. Lot Carey, 250. This can be done. I was with a Baptist leader from India who shared about a church of 100 people that's supporting 20 church planters. If God can do that in all of those places, God can do that with you. Pastor Rick Warren once said, Acts 2:47, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Note a couple things about this verse. First, God added the growth, that's his part, when the church did its part, fulfill the five purposes. Second, the church growth was daily, which means at a minimum, this healthy church had 365 conversions a year. What if that was the evangelistic standard of every church had to meet in order to call itself a healthy New Testament church? How many churches do you think would qualify? Every Baptist is a missionary. So would you turn to your neighbor and say, "I am a missionary"? Now maybe say it with a bit more conviction. This is the witness path. We're asking you and every believer, will you share your personal testimony once a year until 2033? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. This is the Bible path. Holy Spirit prayer and daily reading the Bible. There are 1,159 languages that have no portion of the Bible in their language. By 2033, let us pray and work so that every person has God's word in their language. Wouldn't that be incredible? If by 2033, every language had John 3:16 in that language. First, we need a prayer team for every language. Individuals, churches, small groups can adopt and pray for one of these remaining languages. Let's pray for every remaining language. And as a Baptist movement, let's tithe. You believe in tithe? I believe in tithe. Let's give 10% or 120 of these remaining languages. Let's fund them to completion. First Baptist Woodlands outside of Houston has agreed to fund one of those translations. What about your church? The BWA recently completed a Bible distribution project in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Rebels had targeted Christians and burned churches and Bibles. Pastors were walking 20 miles through rebel persecution to get a Bible and write down their passage for that Sunday. Here's a picture of the road they would have to walk along. Here's one of the churches that received the Bible. Altogether, 36,321 people received the Bible. And as the Bible was distributed, the gospel was shared, and another 2,364 people gave their life to Christ. Praise God. This is the Bible path. Will you commit to read one chapter a day and to pray for one of the remaining languages? All the believers were together. They held everything in common. They sold their properties and their possessions to give to anyone who had need. What a radical vision. The Acts 2 church and all of the New Testament churches understood themselves as a new family, a family that was not based on race, gender, or class. Each person was equidistant to God and could be equally filled according to the gifts of the Spirit. As a new family, it was natural to gather in homes and to pursue discipleship, just as Jesus modeled around a common meal. As a new family, they called each other brother and sister. Home-based hospitality was the hallmark of the New Testament church. They shared a common meal with one another, and as part of their worship as brothers and sisters, they sold their property and their possessions, and they gave to any who had need. It was generosity that generated a movement. It was not cleverness, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. It was not by their knowledge, but by daily reading the Bible. It was not by acquiring more, but by selling what they already had to live with gospel generosity to anyone who had a need. This is the care path. By 2033, could we give witness through 1 billion intentional acts of service? This is not impossible. If every Baptist will help 3 people, by 2033, we'll reach 1 billion people. So can you share your testimony once a year? Can you read a New Testament chapter once a day? Can you help 3 people this year? We can do this. This is the Acts 2 church in action. Let it be said that the church in action is a church meeting the needs of neighbors and the nations. It was not our needs first, neighborhood needs second. It was not church needs first, other needs second. It is radical hospitality. It is gospel generosity, selling goods. They gave to anyone who had need. In every place, there are wounds of personal pain, fearful sorrow, lonely isolation, disintegrating families, lack of dignified work. There are the hungry crying out, children crying out, the elderly with no one to care for them. There are prisoners. There are refugees, students who need mentoring, those addicted to drugs, the homeless, and we believe that the wounds of Jesus are deep enough to heal the wounds of this world. They sold what they had, and they gave to any in need. This is gospel generosity. The care path. Will you commit to help at least 3 people every year? And every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the freedom and justice path. Like the first church, we want to gather and to publicly worship God and live out our faith. But for some, this is not possible. For 400 years, Baptists have worked for the freedom of people to praise God. Our heritage is as a family forged in the crucible of biblical discipleship, committed mission, and religious freedom. Our contention is not for mere toleration, but for religious liberty. Our contention is not for ourselves, but for all people. So we're going to ask 1 million people to sign a covenant on religious freedom that states that our commitment is to religious freedom for all people of all faiths or of no faith, and that faith can only flourish when it is not tied to nationalism, including Christian nationalism. From Nicaragua to Cuba to Myanmar, to the occupied territories around the world, let us stand with those who face persecution. Like BWA Baptists in Ukraine. It has been horrific for the 2,000 Baptist churches in Ukraine and for every citizen. I've been to Ukraine and I've seen the bombed out buildings. At times, the forces that are coming in leave tanks on the outside of the sanctuary to intimidate the worshipers. One church received a call from the invading army, which said, because of the work that you are doing as a church, you don't even deserve a bullet. You deserve to be buried alive. But since the start of the war, BWA Baptists have helped more than 1 million refugees. Since the start of the war, Ukrainian Baptists have had 250 churches closed. But since the start of the war, they've seen 10,000 people give their life to Jesus Christ. And they've ordained 500 new pastors. Standing with the persecuted and those in violence, we pursue freedom and justice. One final path. All of this incredible witness of the first church, sharing personal testimonies, studying teaching around the table, caring for those in need, standing for freedom. The primary location was a personal home in the midst of a neighborhood. So this is the fifth path, the neighborhood path. Can we raise up 1% of all BWA Baptists who will serve as a lay chaplain for their neighborhood? Do you know the neighbor who lives to your left, to the right, above or below you? Whether you live in an apartment, a detached home, or a university dorm, everyone has a neighbor. Because of the freedom you have in Christ, will you serve your neighbor as a neighborhood chaplain? Now, what does a neighborhood chaplain do? You know your neighbor by name, you pray for your neighbor by name, and you respond as the Holy Spirit leads. If you'll make this commitment, you can join into this unprecedented global mission. First Baptist Alexandria, Virginia is already doing this. For the last year, their church has gone out in teams of three to physically walk the streets of Alexandria, stopping in front of each house and praying by name for that house. And the last 9 months, they have prayed for 17,000 households. I was in Germany and I had dinner with the mayor and he said, what are you doing at the BWA? And I said, listen, we're about to launch this initiative we call Neighborhood Chaplains. In this time of polarization, we are calling Baptists to walk their streets, to know their neighbors by name, to pray for them and to bless them. And he looked at me and he said, would you please bring that to our city? This Blair, who's not a believer, said, could you bring, we need people who will bless their neighbors. In polarization, electoral change, and loneliness, the answer is not just legislation, but neighborhood chaplains. The theological and missional center of the early church was the neighborhood family home. The average New Testament church was just 20 to 40 people gathered in their homes. They could rapidly spread as they intentionally carried the gospel to every neighborhood. I was here in Brisbane and I heard an incredible testimony. A believer had moved into a new neighborhood and they had a WhatsApp group. So she wrote to the group on WhatsApp, listen, I've just moved in and I'm the chaplain for this street. No one appointed her as chaplain. She just appointed herself as the chaplain to the street. She said, listen, at first there are all these negative texts. Who appointed you? We don't need a chaplain. What kind of Christian are you? But pretty soon, people were sending her private messages asking for prayer. Chaplain, will you come and pray for my family? Chaplain, I'm struggling with work, struggling with my marriage. Would you come and pray for me? We can live as neighborhood chaplains who know our neighbors to the left and to the right, above and below, who pray for them and then respond as the Holy Spirit leads. As we near this 2000th anniversary, God is calling us, family, to an Acts 2 movement with five paths. 450 million testimonies shared. 1,159 Bible translations engaged with prayer and support. 1 billion intentional acts of service. 500,000 neighborhood lay chaplains. 1 million signing a covenant of religious freedom. Let us pick up the cross of Jesus in global revival. So here's what we're asking every believer. Would you share your testimony once a year? Would you read one Bible chapter per day and every church pray for one language? Would you care for three people a year? Would you show your support for religious freedom for all? And would you commit to serve as your neighborhood chaplain? For the last few months, we have been previewing this movement. We've already heard from Baptists in Ukraine to Nigeria, from Russia to New Zealand, that they will be part of this unprecedented collaborative global mission. What about you?
What about you? What about me? This is what we're calling each other to do over this next term in particular as we focus on it, but it won't just be for this term. We're going to continue to focus on it and tell stories about it. We're going to be inviting you to be a part of this. For many of you, you're already in Connect groups. I know Connect group material is available out in the foyer on the welcome desk. So if you're in a Connect group, make sure you grab a hold of the material that you'll be doing over the next term. And if you're not in a Connect group and you still would like to participate in the material, there are enough booklets for you to grab one as well, which maybe you want to participate in your own personal devotional time. That would be a wonderful opportunity to do that. Over these next weeks, we're going to be sharing about the different aspects, the different pathways, and we're going to be calling each of us to do them. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we're going to be calling us to have some ways where we individually participate. We're going to be calling some ways where we collectively participate. We've been seeing some of the very practical kind of expressions of what that looks like on a global sense, but we have some particular things that are relevant to us here at CHBC that are a part of this movement. And so some of the things that I'm really looking forward to with a sense of excitement is when we talk about the Bible translation, for example, did you know that a number of our Go Team people here work in this field and they have picked out a language that's relevant to us, people from our community where we can be involved in that? You know, next week we're going to be sharing about the witness path and some of the things that we've been talking about over this past term are things like telling our story. You know, I'm going to be asking you, who's a person that you're praying for that you want to tell your story to? There's going to be different ways that we're going to be sharing in this together. And so I want to ask you, what about us? What about you? I'd like to pray for us. For our God, we thank you that you are a God who works in this world. You are a God who brings radical transformation. Transformation to individuals. Transformation to neighborhoods. Transformation to families. And so, God, we pray that your Spirit would bring transformation to us and to our world. Father, help us not to be spectators, but to jump in with you leading the way. Amen. If you would like to pray with someone after the service today, our team will be down the front here. Take that opportunity. But as you go, I would like to pray over each one of us. For our God, we thank you that as we leave this place, you go before us. You go behind us. You go alongside us. Father, that your Spirit inhabits us and ministers your grace and your mercy and peace to us each day. And so for us as we go from this place, may we know your power and your presence in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray.